Amen. You all are partakers of this with me in grace. Amen and amen. We have had quite a few weeks lately. I don't think we've had a single day in 3 weeks, maybe more, in which every single day has had some gathering, some activity, some event in this church family. Part of every day, either evening or morning or afternoon, has been filled with a gathering, a get-together, a fellowship, if you will, of this congregation. And I've been observing it as it goes along, thrilled with it because of what it does for us. And I've been trying to chew on and think about, what does it mean? What are we doing? Why is it that fellowship, that the connectedness of the body is so important? Lots and lots of people have the opinion that church, organized religion, as it were, is an unnecessary addition to faith. That, in fact, I know God, God knows me, we believe in each other, and that's good enough. But when you read the New Testament, you absolutely don't come away with that conclusion. Everything from Jesus saying that he will build his church to the letter upon letter upon letter written to gatherings, churches of Christians, we read and see that the togetherness was an essential part of what it meant to follow Christ. Let's go to our Father in heaven before we get into this lesson. Holy God, everlasting Father, you are eternal and great and glorious. Your word is perfect and powerful, living and active. And your Son is our Lord. Father, I pray that we appreciate his death on the cross, that we trust his resurrection as a demonstration of your power, and that we rejoice in being found in him, and knowing that because of the spilling of his blood, we can be cleansed. Father, help us to take none of this for granted, and by that, Father, to be eager to obey your word. It is so exciting that you listen to these prayers, Father. We don't understand how, and we don't understand why, other than it's a demonstration of your love and care. We praise you, Lord, and pray that our life gives you praise and thanks every day. Help us in this lesson right now to understand you and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The power of fellowship. The power of fellowship. The first caution is to understand and not misuse the word. And frankly, I misuse or use the one edge of the word all the time, rather than the fullness of the meaning of the word fellowship. In Greek, the word is koinonia, and it means a communal participation. It's a togetherness word. It's a participation word. It's a connecting word. And God wants it to be active. First of all, let's understand koinonia. Let's understand koinonia. Turn to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 1. It is exciting when you read the New Testament, when you read the Bible, that you can be confident. One of my favorite ideas for our faith. You can be confident. We don't have to wonder if God created the heavens and the earth. We can know and be confident that he did. We don't have to wonder if Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The evidence is overwhelming that that's a fact of history. We don't have to wonder if the church gathered on the first day of the week, or people were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, or if the early church sang a cappella, or whatever it might be. You don't have to think about those things with a question mark in your life and go, well, I don't know if I understand. You can know and be confident of this. And John writes this way. John writes the beginning of 1 John to give us, knowing that so far removed from the events of the first century, we needed something to sink our teeth into. We needed something to build our confidence. So look at what John writes in 1 John, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1. That was what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The word of life there is Jesus. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim. John understands, as he's writing to this small congregation, which has had some struggles as you read through the letter, he wants them to know that he saw, touched, heard, walked with the Lord. And he saw, touched, heard Jesus after the resurrection, the eternal life. He was a witness of the eternal life that Jesus delivers to us. So, verse 3, we're in. So that you too may have fellowship with us. That's koinonia. John gives us reassurance that his witness of Jesus as Lord brings us a participation of fellowship with him, that we can join him in his witness of who Jesus was and what he did. Indeed, our fellowship, verse 3 still, koinonia, is with the Father. We have a common participation with our Heavenly Father. We have a fellowship relationship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't usually use fellowship in that way, but we fellowship with our brother and Lord Jesus and with our Heavenly Father, God. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. I hope you rejoice over these things. I hope you rejoice today, truly, literally, really rejoice that John, through the Holy Spirit, gives us this kind of confidence and we have this kind of participation and communication and connection in fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, what happens? That fellowship that we had with God becomes, verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. We have a common community of connection. We have a participation in this relationship with one another. God delivers us the closeness we have with him to each other. We absolutely had a wonderful fellowship gathering last night. Scott Crockett is a deacon that organizes fellowship activities. We enjoy a lot of gatherings. And last night was a participation, a thanksgiving of what the state of Alaska gives us in every direction. And there were dishes with all different kinds of Alaskan meats, from salmon to a moose and caribou, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. The gathering was a celebration of the connection that God gives us, and it was a building up of that connection. We have fellowship with one another because God gives it to us. And therefore, we don't take it lightly. We don't take it lightly. This is a continuous thought all the way through chapters 1 and 2. But look at chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Even our obedience to his word is a fellowship with God. Our listening and excitement and joy in having his word in our hands and being able to obey it is a fellowship with God. He tells us in verse 6 to walk in the same manner as he walked. And then in verse 7, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment, but an old commandment. When Jesus gave us a new commandment, we just read it a few minutes ago. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. The bread and butter, the description of our connection, our participation in fellowship, that we love one another. And if 1 John has any most powerful theme, it's the theme of loving one another, as he really gets into it in chapters 3 and 4. We won't do that now. But notice that verse 15, just a few verses later, says, do not love the things of the world. We're warned a few times in the New Testament not to fellowship with the world. Don't have things in common. Don't participate in what the world is. Don't love the world. Love your brother. Love one another. So, 1 John gives us a description of fellowship as a gift of God for one another to love one another. Look at Philippians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3. This is what William just read for us a little bit ago. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. The word participation in the New American Standard, some of the other versions use the word fellowship, is koinonia. So if you have a New American Standard version or a version who doesn't use fellowship there, just write off to the side, a little asterisk, a little arrow, and write fellowship, or write koinonia. Because we have koinonia in the gospel. We have a joint participation. We have a sharing of things in God's gospel, in his good news, and it is what connects us to one another. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians, that's incorrect. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 through 14. Whoever wrote that slide made a mistake. I have to talk to you. You know, your help is just only so good, right? So whichever of my hands typed that one, I got to talk to that one. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. We're running over joy all over the place here, aren't we, today? Rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Verse 14, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Well, just to make sure that we see that it's in all parts of God's of the Godhead, we'd already read in 1 John that we have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. And Paul ends 2 Corinthians by saying, we have fellowship, we have a joint participation, we have a sharing of things with the Holy Spirit of God. Grace from Jesus Christ, love from God, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So we see that this idea of joint participation, this idea of a sharing of things, goes all across the Godhead, and it's given to us by God so that we can be in fellowship with each other, in relationship with each other. This is so important that we aren't just people who show up on Sundays and go home. I know you're a long way from that idea, but I grew up in a time when that was the norm. That was the expected weekly pattern for a person who called himself a Christian. You went to church on Sunday and you went home and did the rest of your life. You had a secular life and you had a religious life, and the religious life was pretty small. And if the preacher didn't go on too long, you could make it to the restaurant in time to beat the other churches getting out, so you didn't have to wait in line. That we really divided up our lives that way. This is so important that we understand that God has given us a set of relationships that is so critical to who we are. When we see the one another's of the New Testament and realize that we need to pray for each other, that we need to help each other out of sin, that we need to encourage one another, that we need to rejoice with one another, that we need to love one another and care for one another and give to one another and support one another and carry one another's burdens. And on it goes, that we have a fellowship, a sharing of our life that is critical to our health and our faith. Without church relationships being most important in your life, your faith is either gone or in serious danger. Serious danger. We have got to keep God's people center about who we are and how we love and who we encourage and work with. We need one another. Obviously, we work in all sorts of parts of our communities. Obviously, the Lord wants us out talking to people and showing people who He is and what His Word says. But our priority, our first relationships, are His people in His body. We don't have time to talk about the workings of the body and how the church is indeed the body. Koinonia creates unity. Koinonia creates unity. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul is talking about his own conversion. Paul was a persecutor of the church, imprisoning Christians, and you better believe he had a hard time walking into a church assembly and being accepted as a Christian. People scattered when they saw him walking toward them, and Christians weren't an exception. They did not trust him. They did not know him. They knew the hatred that he had for the faith. And it was only in verse 9, when they recognized that grace had been given me, Galatians 2, verse 5, when they recognized the grace that had been given me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Fellowship is that which identifies and builds unity. Who is this man? Does he know Christ? Has he submitted his life to Christ? Has he been baptized into Christ? Is his heart changed from that man who hated and imprisoned Christians to one who'll serve the Lord? And after they determined that he had indeed received the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, they gave him fellowship. Fellowship builds unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll just start in verse 9. God is faithful, whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you. So he starts with the principle of unity and fellowship with Christ and builds on that, this absolute unity we're to have with one another. No divisions. Not even any divisions in attitude. Not even any divisions in thought. Good luck with that one. But at least that's our goal. At least that's our goal, that we are totally united in thought and in opinions. All agree, and that there be no division, that you may be made complete with the same mind and in the same judgment. Koinonia creates unity. Koinonia focuses that unity. Do you know that we had koinonia last weekend during our gathering? We did today too, but I'll get to that in a second. Last week, we took up a collection and we sent Ed and Jessica Cook, backed with over $9,000 in support. We prayed for them and sent them down to Seattle to begin Ed's treatment, cancer treatment. That $9,000 gift plus gift that you gave them was koinonia. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which is given to the churches in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed with a wealth of liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us, much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. You know the overstory that there was a famine in the middle part of the Middle East, that Christians in Jerusalem area were dying of starvation. And so Paul was collecting money from other congregations and sending it or bringing it to Jerusalem for food for Christians. And they begged. The word participation in verse 4 is koinonia. They begged. We don't have much money. We're pretty poor up here in Macedonia, but we can't stand to hear of our brothers and sisters hurting and not giving. He said they gave beyond what they were able to give. They gave beyond what they were able to give. That's koinonia giving. By the way, it's the same word found in 2 Corinthians 9, very next chapter. Very famously, verse 6, I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. When you jump down to verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God to your obedience, to your confession of the gospel, and to the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. Contribution, you know, it's koinonia. The giving, the collection of their money for a special need for another congregation, for Christians, is koinonia. It is participation, sharing one group to another. By the way, Romans 15 has the same thing. Romans 15, verse 26. Achaia, Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Contribution is koinonia, fellowship. We get to do koinonia every week. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read verse 16, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Both those words sharing in verse 16 are koinonia, fellowship. Some of yours read that way, that we fellowship in the blood of Christ and we fellowship in the body of Christ. Koinonia is a wide and a powerful word. But my favorite use of koinonia is when koinonia is devoted. When it's something we're devoted to and in. And my favorite place is Acts 2. In verse 41, we read, "So then who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves. And this is a great description of a Christian walk. If you want a simple but powerful description of what our lives should look like, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 describes it. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. The apostles' teaching, the word of God, the fellowship, the connections with the family of God that he gives us, the breaking of bread, the Sunday assembly, and the participation in the Lord's Supper, and to prayers, our constant, focused devotion and spiritual walk and conversation with God. Verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple to the breaking of bread from house to house. They were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the last few weeks, I've had a lot of extra conversations with Lauren, in driving down to the preacher's retreat in Soldotna or having time together here. And he told the story about working with men, either people at the preaching school in Thailand or young men who were just beginning to be preachers or folks who were working together. And he said in two different ways, he said years now he can look back over the years and those who stayed after class around the school who worked studying together and then went and enjoyed one another together after classes, those preachers are still devoted to the church in Thailand today. Lauren said they used to go out fishing together after class. They'd have Bible classes all morning and go fishing in the afternoon. They'd have barbecues and meals together. Out of Bangkok, they would spend their extra time. They would drive from congregation to congregation to congregation up through the middle part of Thailand and then back down again. Those men and women who participated, who joined together and spent that extra time together, they're the ones who are still serving and with the church today. And the ones who didn't have time for that, the ones who left and went off on their own, they took the same classes. They learned the same things. They had to pass the same school requirements. They were called to do the same work. But those are the ones who pulled back over the years and aren't faithful. Koinonia, fellowship connection, relationship connections, a sharing of time and heart and laughter, fishing together, hunting together, working together, teaching Bible studies in houses together, builds more than we know. Your children desperately need koinonia connections with the family. They get hours upon hours upon hours with groups in every direction outside of us, whether sports or clubs or classroom. They desperately need church relationships. Romans 12 doesn't have the word koinonia in it, but it does have the attitude. Verse 9 of Romans 12, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's a description of koinonia. One another, participation, a sharing of who we are and what we have, sharing our time, our money, our joys, our laughter, our help, our tears, our hours, our homes, our food. I know. I think of all the answers. I don't have time. I'm not good at meeting and talking with people. I'm not good in social situations. You desperately need Christian community. It's part of why small group gatherings are so important, because they provide you community, Christian community relationships. This gathering barely does. This barely gives us relationships. First of all, we're all pointed one direction except me. You're not talking to each other. You're hardly getting to know each other in this hour. We have connection time before and afterwards, but coming to Sunday gathering does not give us koinonia relationships. It's a worship of God and an important part of our Christian walk, but we have to have healthy koinonia relationships. We are members of one another, we read in Romans 12:5. We are members of one another. Therefore, jump down to verse 10, be devoted to one another. If any at this point here have not been baptized into Christ, if there's anything we can help you with, whether your faith, your walk, your struggles, whatever it might be, please come forward and let us help you. Let us know while we stand and sing the song selected. Thank you so much.